It's time for Cutting Edge Consciousness with Freeman Michaels and Barnett Bain. Thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And welcome to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Freeman Michaels here with my co-host.
Barnett Bain, good morning.
How are you?
How are you? It's good to see you this morning.
I'm doing
well. Hello, Barry Bordop. Good to see you this morning.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Any morning it's good to be here, but especially this morning.
Yes, what is it about this morning that
beautiful
has
outside?
Got you all
I love
fired up.
I love the weather. Yeah. I went out for a walk after the rains, and you know how the everything's damp, and there's that smell in the air that you can actually smell the trees, and it was kind of fantastic. I was feeling it this morning.
Sort of an East Coast thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from San Francisco, so it's a very typical San Francisco Golden Gate Park
kind of
experience.
I like it. Washes away all the dog litter where
we used to
hike up in Fryman Canyon. It's suddenly clean and fresh.
That's right. There's one part of living in Los Angeles that...
That's an L.A. thing.
Because it only rains 14 inches a year, so the truth is that that doesn't always get washed away. So it's nice to have that washed away.
Good way. I'm glad we brought that up.
That's good.
That's some
is that our segue?
That's some good drive time stuff. You want to be in your car hearing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what else is new with you? I haven't seen you for a couple of days.
Yeah, no, I've just been, I've been kind of in it. You know, there's been a lot of things. I wrote on Facebook a little bit about some of the anxiety dreams that were coming up. You know, they weren't as gripping as they've been in the past. In fact, I'm really grateful.
Freeman's Facebook page, folks, is like True Confessions.
It's not.
Get the lurid stuff, not just of the morning walks, but what happens in the dark night of the soul, you want to subscribe to Freeman's Facebook
page.
Well,
now this is true.
And like us, by the way, we're at Cutting Edge Consciousness, and we troll for likes.
That's right. But no, I mean, part of what I do is I express my experience in human terms, the sort of, you know, way that I'm working with what's showing up for me. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to go into the sleeping dream and kind of check out what's showing up. And it's gripping. Mm-hmm. But it's not as gripping as it used to be. In the past, it was so gripping, and it was so real, and I had no perspective.
So you're not getting
on
as triggered.
Not at, well, and even if I am triggered, there's a part of me that's watching the whole experience. This is, of course, what we call the observer. There's a sense of being able to see my experience a bit more dimensionally. So while I can feel the thread of the particular storyline that's showing up, I understand the other storylines as well, the storylines that exist simultaneously but aren't as present for me as what's showing up. And so I was doing a bit of work, I guess, with anxiety. Not my favorite
all
work to do.
All the sort of aspects of yourself. You know, I'll make a brief observation about that, which I know is going to be it's like chumming for sharks. I'm going to throw out something for our guest. He's going to go berserk with this later, but I'll do it anyway with that.
Are you thinking one particular guest is going to have a field day with this?
One particular viewer,
listener,
like,
whatever.
No, not our listener, our guest today in studio. He's
throwing him
red meat.
Oh, I get it.
But
good,
I'll
good,
do
good.
It anyway.
So, yeah, yeah, good.
You know, this whole thing of beginning to develop a relationship with fragments of ourselves, the parts of ourselves that are hurt or in arrested development or have one perspective or another on life. And it's like being conscious Sybil.
Yes.
It's literally like being conscious Sybil. And I've noticed that, please don't write in anyone. I don't need help. But I've noticed recently that I am more comfortable in my skin when I think of myself as an us.
That's right.
Instead of a me.
That's right.
Then instead of like this vertical where I know what's going, because there are so many parts of me that are either reactive to something that's going on or in fear of what's going on or are resisting to new situations or have rigid perspectives on things, have understandings of the world and wants to cling to them. And so I feel now that I am like herding cats and they're all me.
Yeah, they are.
And they're all unruly and they're all undisciplined, but it is much more comfortable to begin to think of myself as an us.
That's precisely what I was talking about with the dreams, is that I'm watching
these... That's why I brought it up.
Thank you. These threads of storyline and of aspects of me showing up in particular ways. And, you know, I don't know. There's a part of me, this may sound a little strange too, that I am really loving the vulnerability And so I'm not looking to be thrown, but the idea that I get a little triggered and I get a little thrown and then I start to apply compassion, it's such a relief to me because for so long I wanted that to go away. And the flip, which happened over the last year, you've been a witness to it, to where I'm more and more able to hold the parts of me that get very anxious and scared without feeling like this has to be, you know, solved or fixed or eradicated. And I'm going, wow, I'm really hearing from it has been, it sounds crazy, but kind of joyful. Like I'm really grateful to be able to hold those parts because the truth is they existed before. I just tried to push them down and acted like they didn't exist, which didn't work out very well for me.
Well, it worked out good enough to get you here.
That's right.
You're in the studio today. It's a good day. You took a walk this morning.
That's it. You're right.
The dog litter was wiped away. It's a new day. It's a fresh start.
Fantastic. Who the heck are we talking to today?
We have a guest. We have a guest
good.
In studio today.
Oh, yeah. It's always good.
And that is good. That is good. And so I have some notes here.
No, you don't need your notes. Come on.
You think I'm going to make this up?
You know him.
I do know him. Actually, he's
we
a buddy
know
of mine.
Him. Yeah.
But generally, there is a tradition. He's a show business guy.
All right. Give some of his credits.
Guy,
all right, let's give his credits.
You want to haul out all
let's
of the credits.
Let's start with he's a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
That's right. That's above the title.
Above the
title. Great guy.
Great guy, Kyle Cease.
That's it. It's great guy, Kyle Cease. We have Kyle Cease with us today. Kyle Cease.
In the studio.
To be, to give him his due,
yeah,
is one of the funniest guys
hysterical.
Around. One of the very few new perspective young comedians around. He's an incredible guy, and he has the most wonderful take, the most ingenious take on. What we are also passionately exploring, he manages to frame it in a way that is, for me, one of the deepest takeaways of what it is to be exploring consciousness and exploring spirituality is so often lost, and Kyle is an in-your-face reminder of this. I certainly know I take myself so seriously.
Mm.
And if we can't have fun with it, and if we are not reminded continuously that life is a celebration, that life is about really learning to have fun. I know there can be a whole bunch of pushback. Oh, the world isn't such a terrible place. It's really about learning how to have fun and how to live and how to laugh and how to love. And so we have our really great friend here, Kyle Cease, and it's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too.
Thank you for having me.
I know, it's been like a week now.
A whole week. It's been a whole week. I haven't laughed for a week.
Really? I'm all
well,
you have?
We have Barry, and Barry's pretty funny.
He's been killing me.
He kills it.
No, with his, can you say it into the microphone again joke?
It's hysterical how he does that.
Yeah, no, it's a good bit. You should close with that. No, it's fun to be doing the show with you guys. It's fascinating to hear your talk and
our banter.
And yeah, it's
we call it spirit banter.
Yeah. I learn a lot about myself as I listen. Very much.
What have you learned?
that's right.
How much I want to stop doing podcasts. No, I'm just kidding.
This is video. This is full on video.
I think it's just fascinating to hear someone going through their own reflections and then hear. And it reminds me of when I'm going through mine. Mm-hmm. And it's just an interesting perspective to see that and hear your reaction. And just, I don't know, I don't have a specific point on this. It's just fun to sit back and listen to other people. And then, as you said, like listen to myself go, now what am I trying to get? There's a part of me that also is hearing how much I say that kind of stuff. Like, so what am I trying to learn from this and all this stuff?
Yeah.
And like, part of me just is like what you're saying, like, let's just have fun, like and there's this quicker.
Well, we have fun. We overeat.
Yeah, no, and it's ironically I don't like.
You overeat, but it's like,
then I have to declare.
It's like green and there's
well,
no,
I have this thing where like I you know
juices.
I went 90 days of eating all raw, and I do that usually if I just
to
go
me,
a little bit out of my
is
own
a sushi diet.
Yeah, no sushi though.
I noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. No, I thank you for noticing that.
It's okay. Right.
But I would. I.
That's what honoring is, when you're really changed by your friendship with another person.
Actually, it's if you notice how much sushi they ate.
That's a whole sub-degree.
Remember the song from preschool? You're honoring someone if you notice how much sushi they ate in 90 days. It was a song. They changed it to
that's not
under
original.
God.
That's not original with you. You got that from Freeman's book.
That's in page 7. Yeah. There's a few quotes that I've been really
lifted from
really
Freeman's
like
book.
Like a Robert, like we were talking about this Robert Frost big quote. Does anyone know where my pen is?
He's famous for that.
Was
one.
Really big one. There was a guy that came in and he basically
he's funnier than this.
He got yeah.
He's
I haven't just started yet. It's just,
well, you know, we have we
well my opening was
we
your
work
walk,
on a budget on so, this show, so we couldn't bring anybody in to warm up the room
right.
for him. So he has to do his own warm up.
Well, my opening up. Act is Freeman's reflecting. So I mean, like, so it's like, all right, you ready to really laugh now? Here's Kyle's reflecting. No, I don't even know where I'm going. I'm just making sounds until something
you
sticks.
You were on a 90-day raw thing.
Well, I was talking about that and that, you know, my poor fiance, because what will happen is I'll just be like, I'll be finally off of something like that. And there's something about being on a 90-day plan where you feel like you have a purpose and it's still ego wanting to achieve.
She didn't do 90 days, did she?
No, but what I mean is I'll just be with her and then we'll be like, let's just have a night where we just have like a burrito and a cake. And I go, okay. And then the next day I'm like, okay, giant declaration. You know, like I just go out of alignment with what I decide that I'm supposed to be doing. And then I'm, okay, 180, like I'm in the middle of 180 days thing. And it's very easy to say, wow, that's really extreme.
So you did 90 days back to back?
I did 90 days of eating all raw. And it was the most amazing thing for me ever. Because what happened was not just, you know, I basically wanted to go, how healthy can I get? That was the original thought. You
but
know,
I want to just add something to that.
Sure.
In addition to the 90-day tranche of diet, don't you have like another 90-day or 30-day of like some infomercial health thing that you bought off television that if you do abdominal crunches like 17 times a day for 90 days?
Oh, P90X?
Oh, yeah, you're a P90X guy,
yeah,
too, right?
I
on
love
top
P90X.
Of the raw.
Yes.
Yeah.
I There's a
he's
thing
a
in
raw
me.
P90X
we're just
guy.
Layering it. We're layering
yeah.
Self-discipline on top of
art.
Self-discipline.
That's art. Layer upon layer upon layer.
There's a thing in me, and I said this to Freeman too. A belief I have, which will probably change tomorrow.
That you can buff
is,
up with no with no fuel. You can buff up no fuel or anything. No protein. Nothing.
Well, no,
you're still
the,
all buffed up.
The belief I have is I want to know how good we can become, how amazing we can become.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, when people say to me, sometimes when people say, I like to do things in moderation, I understand that. But for me, it's kind of like being like, what if Superman had like 50% kryptonite? You know? And part of me just wants to know how healthy,
you know,
in
this
and
show,
how
that's a
connected
that's
we
20
can
minutes of philosophy. Though.
Yeah, no, I know. I know. There would be, I could totally see you and I talking about that forever.
20
and then,
minutes.
And then me going like, all right, you're right. And then start eating a cake and then being mad tomorrow and then 2 years of raw.
So I'm not going to try to tie all this together, but there's a couple threads I was conscious of as you were speaking, Kyle. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love that you said is you said a part of me, which mm-hmm. is a huge part of the language that we've been using for the last year and a half is to talk in terms of parts of us. Because it's not all of us. It's a part of us.
Right.
And we watch these parts of us get expressed in particular ways.
Sure.
And I love that. And the part of you that keeps going on these 90-day things is a very interesting part.
It's so fun. But it's not – I go on those 90-day things because I want to experience changing my habits.
Mm.
Changing – you know, when I go on day one of eating raw, I feel this thing where I go, okay, I really want cake right now. I really want to go get a dessert or whatever. And then I start to go, wait, so my body's not hungry. I'll pass the logo of a restaurant I went to when I was a kid, and then I want that thing. So I start to comprehend that my emotions are running me, not
right.
my body.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's no connection to my body. I mean, there's little connection, part of my
I
connection.
Love that.
And so I start going, what's day two, day three like? And then eventually I start to notice after a couple weeks, I actually don't crave that anymore. And then you get 4 or 5 weeks in and I start associating, wow, I let go of that thing and I'm way happier because I'm not holding on to that thing. So my mind started going, well, or part of my mind, said, what is the next thing I can let go of? Because originally at the beginning of that 90-day thing, I was thinking, I'm going to get off of some, you know, watching movies and the stuff, and I'm going to
Not everybody's movies, though, right?
No. I just watched What Dreams May Come over and over and over again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Only Celestine
Barnett's Prophecy
films.
And What Dreams May Come.
It's a good move.
Yeah.
Almost to Harvard's good, too. You should watch that a few times.
Okay.
I
have a 90-day plan to watch it.
I'll give you the box
I watch
set.
A minute a day.
Give
yeah.
you the box
All right,
set.
Listen, we gotta come back. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with our in-studio change junkie, Kyle Cease, talking about his own human potential experiment.
I'll be funnier then, too. I'll start getting funny.
Yeah.
And we hope that you'll stay with us.
I'll do a bit about being funny.
When we get back,
well,
stay
only
with
if
us.
You want to come back.
Yes.
You're
yeah.
on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness, thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And we are back on Cutting Edge Consciousness. This is Barnett Bain with my co-host Freeman Michaels and our guest Kyle Cease. Freeman, you wanted to bring up something before, something you're itching to bring up before the break.
Well, no, the piece that I think is really interesting is this, this. I was talking in my dreams that I have this observer who's watching it and sort of, and it creates a space for me to have an experience without feeling like I am 100% that experience. It's sort of what we were talking about when we talk about the parts of us. When we say it's a part of me, I personally can own it more.
Sure.
In the past, a part of me would kick in, and I would begin to tell the story as if it was all of me. I'm the kind of person who, yada, yada, yada. Or
me versus us.
I like this or don't like that, and it would be very...
That's very limiting.
It's very limiting.
Yeah.
And what I love about what you were talking about is this real... generous self-observation and this sort of wondering of what's possible in these,
yes.
I call them practices, but really what they are for you is they're sort of, I'm serious, mini experiments of your
right.
own human potential. I think that's fantastic.
Well, we were talking a lot about in the car on the way here, we were talking about labels and how weird a label is because, like, you know, one thing we were talking about is when you see a couple walking down the street, my belief right now is that that's too... individual people that are each their own full thing and they're connected. But, you know, movies and our mind create this thing where you complete me, which implies I'm incomplete without you. And so you create this label in your brain that you complete me. Well, now you've created a situation where if you guys break up, you have a label in your head that you're supposed to be together. So you create a false damage that is an insanely obvious illusion and part of an insanely obvious. And then I like
insanely
what
obvious the
and
moment it's obvious,
yeah.
But before that, it feels quite real.
Yeah, and you go into pain because you are under this illusion. You're in lack because you thought that thing completed you. And we do this all the time. And the funniest thing about like a relationship, we were talking about this too, is that when you're in a relationship with someone. Really, one of the biggest things about that is the future. In other words, that label says we're together. Well, what does that mean? Well, you picture that means we're going to be together forever. Right now, I'm next to you. And earlier today, I was next to my fiance. But there was nothing different. I mean, our acts were different. I have sex with you.
Yeah,
but you know when she and I are
getting mail right now right. already mail is coming
right
in.
They're like that's another thing every time I make a joke
there's always somebody that is tweaked out in especially in the spiritual community.
You saw my video about with Eckhart.
Yeah,
okay, great. So I took a video.
I love that one,
Eckhart,
yeah.
And I cut myself in asking him
sex
questions. So you have Eckhart sitting there nodding like he knows what I mean. And I got some people writing me that said, you know, I can't believe you would do that. And immediately,
you should see the ones that Eckhart got.
That's right.
Yeah, I can't believe you said that to him.
Can't believe that you went into agreement with that guy.
Yeah, but Eckhart saw the video, and the first thing he said, by the way, is, "Oh, I remember this interview." He thought it was real. Eckhart Tolle
he's
thought
in the present.
That
he's
that
in
the,
now,
so
but not only that, but he thought it's not weird. That's how I would have reacted to that.
That's right.
Like I would have just sat there and nodded and agreed and not been like what like at all. And but what was fascinating is that he, and then they said no, I explained it to him, and he goes, oh, that's so funny. And then the person that asked him about it, they said, you're not offended by it? He goes, there's no sacred cows, you know. Then and that's exactly right. The reason people are mad about a joke is their own rules and their own label where they go,
tweaked.
Well, I've
tweaked
yeah.
their own stuff that they're holding.
And that's why I find there needs to be a balance between, you know, angry, doubtful people that exist, and they're it's great they can exist. I'm not saying that's a problem, but that say there's nothing possible. But then this other spiritual world that doesn't shave their armpits and they put wizards on cactuses and they change their name to Rainbow Maca Sunshine, like,
that's right.
And they aren't spiritual. They're judgmental.
New dogma.
Yeah,
like new dogma.
They're going, you know. Well, I know, and they do. You know, the people that do that long stare, and you're trying to tell them something, and they're like, and they're staring at you. Now, I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, I don't feel like you're actually listening to me. You just want me to notice how long you're staring at me. And there's this weird, that's this other spirituality. And they're just, I believe our core, if you go back to our true childhood core, you're not scared of swear words and you believe anything's possible. And that's the balance. All I'm trying to do is hit our actual state, which is that childlike creative person that was able to say, I think I could be the president when I grow up, or I could be
fireman.
An astronaut. And also isn't judging everything that isn't doing that. That kid is so playing in their own world, and then society turns them into a consumer.
Let me ask you a question. To that, sort of to that point, there is a conditioning, there is a mindset, particularly among comics, that any kind of person, too much personal investigation, too much self-awareness will rob them of their edge and rob them of material. That if they begin to unhook the damage, they will no longer be funny.
Well, there's also a theme with that, too, where it's a particular, we talked about this, Kyle, you and I, where there's a defensive strategy. So some of the self-deprecating humor can be, you know, dig quite deeply, but in a particular theme, in a particular vantage point, which is very limiting. It doesn't allow us to fully hold the hurt, let's say, of something that we're all calling funny, if it's racism or if it's homophobia or whatever. I can make a joke about it, and it illustrates how painful it is, but then no one, the release is you laugh, but no one gets to really hold it or honor it, which locks the comic into a shtick or a mindset or a position that doesn't give them the breadth of the parts of them, let's say.
Right. Well, there's two thoughts. Like, with the thing you said with the self-reflection, you're talking, I mean, I'm reflecting every second. My mind is having a breakthrough every second.
Well,
like,
you're
it's like an awareness
very
and a
unusual.
Realization.
I know quite a few comics, and I don't know any of them who have the same kind of worldview.
Right.
And so I am guessing that there is some some patronizing conversation around you and some.
Oh, you mean from the other comics?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They meaning like.
Well, like, Kyle, you're a goof. What is up with you?
Comics gave me a lot of. It was very challenging for me because as I'm trying to find who I am and trying to be honest with who I am, in the old days, I said this at the seminar. I love how we give each other disclaimers. Like, I kept telling you, I said this to you in the car.
Right, right.
Like,
right.
If I said it now, you'd be like, wait.
No, you already said that.
You said this when we were in Oxnard.
So I'm not really repeating myself. I'm referencing myself.
It's like I'm scared you'll be mad at me if I say something you've heard me say before.
Right.
When I'm in a comedy club, a lot of times I feel like I'm one of like 10 comics. I can't say what I really feel. I don't feel like I can. I don't feel like the audience there, the demographic there is ready for it. And a lot of times when I do a show like that, maybe in the audience there's like one talent scout. Or I can go to Agape and do a set. I'm the only
comedian.
There's
very rarely a talent scout from Agape.
No, but like those kids, those talent scouts' bosses are there.
Yeah.
I'll do a spot at a seminar, and the guy's like, oh, I own NBC. Do you want to go get lunch?
That's right.
And you know, the audiences in these seminars are the open-minded, successful-thinking people. So like if I do a spot at a Tony Robbins convention, you know, or I actually get 400 business cards of people that want me to do their corporate parties. And what I'm saying isn't, wow, I get a lot more work. It's more financially lucrative. It's like I'm also not in a world that's based on hoarding, that's based on fear. Like in the comedy scene, comics, you know, they get on each other about like it, it. You these comics get a sense of significance a lot of times, calling out other comics saying that joke's been done, you know, and this and sometimes it's not even close, or they'll say, don't go to this, you know, they won't tell each other what rooms there are because they're worried the other comics will take it. And then I one day, and I had heard that, and you live in fear as you're doing your jokes because you're like, I hope this isn't close to something one of the other 100,000 comics said. And then Michael Beckwith I saw one day say, you know, an apple tree isn't mad when you take the apple. It goes, go ahead and have it. I have the original. And there was this realization that if you're worried about someone taking your joke or someone taking your gig, you forget that you're this unlimited, unlimited flow. We, when we're sitting here worried about, well, I spent my money on this event, I'm worried that I won't get what I'm, you're saying who I am is this level of bank account, when the truth is you are this unlimited amount of ideas.
Beautifully said.
And you are this exciting thing that can unlimited constantly think. You're not this temporary thing. I can't believe how many people believe that the universe has them and then they move from fear.
You know, it's interesting.
You know?
The part about that, because as I'm listening to you, the same thing exists in, I'm going to call it our community, mm-hmm. where, oh, yes. That was my thing. Oh, I own that, you know. And look, we're not that far from it. In the world that we operate in, there's still a heck of a lot of competition. It's okay. It's part of being human. We've said before, it's a stage of development. Some people are able to really own it and move through it in a graceful way. And for others, the ride is bumpy. And I'll just personalize it. For me, sometimes the ride is bumpy. So, you know, what's interesting for me is to go through all of that, to go through that experience with a level of self-reflection about what's getting expressed that is mine back at me. Mm-hmm. And when it gets to extremes, sometimes it's easier to point to it and say, see there. But when it's subtle, and that's what happens, I think, in our community, it's very subtle. But it all still is held together. It's still this construct that we're all working within, that right. we are, that's the world we're working in. We're trying to figure out our thread. And what everyone really wants is off. They want out of it.
We've talked about this before on this show. It shows up everywhere, but one of the more obvious places that it shows up, one of the more pandemic places that it shows up. You like that word?
I love that word.
It's good. I've never used it before.
I think it's really scrampulent.
It is scrampulent, isn't it?
Sometimes I make up words.
No, it's
which
good.
Is scrupleton to me.
It's unscrupulent.
Yeah, thank
so,
you.
So it shows up around the whole area of money.
Big time.
And, you know, I'll speak for my own process of money. I went for, and I'm still in a very uncertain relationship around that, around this whole issue. But I'm somebody whose priority in life is about exploration of consciousness and learning and about myself and about everyone else in terms of how I relate to everyone else and everything else as an expression of my own spiritual path. So here's this whole kumbaya thing, but when it comes to money, like when 4 years ago we had the big meltdown and along with it all of our personal finances melted down, I saw the degree to which I was spiritual except around money. It was not in God we trust. It's in God we trust for everything except money. Then it's in money we trust. And I could see the disconnect, and I could also see the disconnect in myself. And sometimes now with new x-ray vision in others, I could see the disconnect where I feel very, as you say, Kyle, I feel very connected and very held and very intimate with Providence. And yet I'm worried about my taxes.
That's right.
Yet I'm worried about how am I being. I'm worried about my boss is going to do this or that, or I'm competitive with somebody
And the big challenge, and we talked about this, Kyle, is that we want to – this is the similar to the either or. We want to say we're through it, we're over it, versus holding both of them. We've talked about it. The
some
middle
parts
of the paradox.
Of us are through of it.
That's
and
right.
some parts of are not through
moments,
of it.
In some moments. In some moments
we're
through.
There's an us.
Yeah, and when it's up – look, this is our piece that we talk about all the time. When it's up for us – it's up for us. That doesn't mean anyone else is experiencing it. I have no idea what's going on, you know, in other people's schema and their worldview and what they're filtering in and seeing and not seeing. I know for me, when it's up, it's such an opportunity to allow for the part of me that gets anxious, the part of me that's overwhelmed, and so forth and so on.
So here's a thought on that. This is just an offer, and this is my how I feel about it. When we are, what you said, that thing of feeling totally connected, but also you're worried about your taxes or having that feeling, which I totally understand. I believe in those moments that you're worrying, you could be creating more. And I believe that there is a full-time opportunity to be in, as Michael Beckwith calls it, the idea sphere. And I don't mean this extreme, like you have to go all day, all night, but I believe that our trying to get is what gets in the way of getting it.
Definitely.
You know, if you're on a date with someone that you really like, you suddenly put yourself in lack. You know, you suddenly feel incomplete without them, so you're on the date unable to talk. You're like, I like corn bacon, and they're like, what happened to you? You know, you're so cool when I just saw you on TV or whatever. And, you know, that's for everyone who's been on TV.
That's right. I just saw you on radio.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, and Freeman, we didn't talk about this earlier.
Oh, good. Thank you. So,
this is going to be fresh.
I realized I've never disclaimed anything we didn't say.
This is now totally new.
Get ready, everybody. Yeah. Belt up. Buckle up.
Thank you for the ride. Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I did say that earlier. So never mind. That was something I only said earlier.
You only said that once, though.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. No one's ever said that to me this minute about that. But what I was getting at is that I find that if you're in a place where you're feeling in lack, money or relationships or whatever, it's something in your head, and you're going to start moving from lack. You're going to start moving from a fear-based place.
Unless there's a place in your experience for the part of you that's scared. Because honestly, the reaction to the part of us that's scared, the desire to be over it or through it, is what perpetuates it. But if I'm okay with the part of me that's really scared right now, it's feeling overwhelmed, I'm hearing from that part of me, and I allow that.
Right.
And still go ahead and start creating and generating.
So instead of it being an either or, it is a resolution of a paradox.
Sure.
It's not this or that. It's not even this.
I don't think
and
that
conflict, it's
though.
It's this and that. It's two
and
separate
I like
energies.
It. I mean, it sounds really wacky, but I like the vulnerable part of me. I'm okay with it. I'm not running to create situations where I feel ultra vulnerable. But look. The degree to which I can be compassionate with my shame, for example, with a part of me that feels ashamed, in that moment, it just creates a space in my world.
I think you think, or I shouldn't say I think that you think, but there's something that I'm okay. What
there's
I'm saying,
you're thinking.
What I'm saying is completely being okay with
right.
that money,
right.
that being a lack. I'm saying I'm agreement. I'm not saying like. Let's run. I'm not saying let's use force and ignore a problem and then it'll fix it. I'm
right.
saying that who you are is not your future tax situation. And so the second you just embrace that that is a thought that came in and you get that that's just a floating by thought. But if you just go back to that, I really believe there's
if
a childlike.
If you climb on board it,
yeah.
then it's got you. But if you just allow it to go through it, I see it as.
I'm not saying
like
islands use your out thing
I totally
as
get
motivated.
It.
I'm
totally
not saying, yeah.
No,
I think
I
we're actually agreeing.
I think so. I wasn't saying that you were saying that. I think that that's the challenge with a lot of the Tony Robbins stuff. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus. I'm sure he's a great guy. I'm just saying that.
He's larger than most buses.
He's a big guy, at least.
He's a big spirit.
But
he's
the idea.
Presence.
That a lot of people are working with these consciousness tools in the old paradigm of trying to fix it, solve it, get over it. I used to be that way. I mean, I
but
hear
that's
it
the
all
necessary
the time.
Trojan horse if they want to get to conscious. A lot of times,
well, it's
in
what
other
brings
words,
them
if you're
to the.
In the
If
you're,
game.
Yeah, if you're in a victim mentality, the only thing you see from that paradigm a lot of times is how victim. Do I make more money?
That's right. That's why.
It's either the victim or you're either, you know, depressed, suicidal, addicted to something or going, how do I make more money? You don't care about what we're talking about. You know what I mean? So the next level is the secret or and it's a necessary thing like the Tony
it's a
Robbins
developmental
world.
Thing.
Yeah, and I went through
that
process
that
goes from the victim to everything, I can run everything. And that is a necessary stage to go through where you go, everything happens because of me. And you start to go, I can do anything. But the challenge later at one point can become, you go, wow, I can get the girl, I can get this thing. You live in the future, though. You start to go, and your mindset is constantly, when something happens, I'll be happy. But the truth is, when you get the thing, you go, what's next?
That's it.
And so you are living in this place of future. And if you don't achieve something that you may were going to make happen no matter what, you are so mad at yourself and because you were going to make this happen. So the next stage happens when you release control, which is where you have like a road trip. You set the intention. And then you spend 90% of it just playing on the way there, and you enjoy the journey. And then on that route, you notice 9 billion other ways that you will make money or have the greatest happiness.
Or get to New York.
Yeah, or get to New York.
Or not.
Well, like in the second level, you're climbing a mountain, and you're staring at the top of it, and you're going to make it there no matter what. You won't listen to other people. You don't care. And the level after that, you take your time and you look around while you go, and you notice people with elevators everywhere that will just take you to the top. And there's this effortless flow where you start to see every person you're working with is an opportunity to either listen to or help or give or to work with. And you start to see we have this insane, unlimited amount of assets. And a lot of times we can't see it if we're sitting here going, my problem is I have my taxes next week. But if you go and make this life a playground, what I'm saying is then, yeah, those thoughts come in and they show up. Great.
And they may be indications it's
said.
A good time to do your taxes.
Yeah.
Because it is. And you do that and you move on. But the priority is taxes are just along the way up the mountain to where I really want to go.
Yeah.
So we do them. And with that, we have to say goodbye. Before we
say goodbye already?
To Kyle, we have to. I'm so sorry. We have to take a commercial
wow.
break, too. Let's get your website, because I want people, of course, to be able to get to more of what you're doing.
You're doing some very, very cool stuff he's doing at the John Levitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk soon.
Give the
April 28th through the 30th, I'm doing a three-day event about pretty much what we're talking about I'm going to give specific actions
but it'll
on
be
getting
funny.
Into it'll be very funny. Yeah. Yeah, you'll have to look me up on YouTube now. I promise I'm a comic. It's going to be specific, exciting right brain actions. I'll be teaching the art of Kegel,
it's like Kegeling but for the brain. It's hemispheric squeezing.
It's so powerful and I'm so excited about it, and
I just want to vouch for that. Seriously, I have experienced it and it is a wonderful, wonderful resource for becoming relational with your subconscious mind and for flights of creativity and fantasy. This is
Thank
the way
you.
To go.
So for those who are interested, the website is?
Go to KyleCease.com. If anyone wants to, they can write me and my assistant at KyleCeaseHelp@gmail.com. If there's any questions about it, and we'll give you all the information. We'll probably just call you because, you know, I'm sure two people will write.
Or they can contact us at Cutting Edge Consciousness, and we will refer it.
I'm
a small fee.
I'm so excited about this event, and yeah, dude, I'll split it with you.
All right, I'm thrilled.
It's been fabulous having
you
here.
So awesome.
Thank you.
And for those of you listening, stay tuned because we will be right back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness.
Welcome back to Cutting Edge Consciousness: thought-provoking discussions and bold ideas from the edge of possibility.
And we're back here on Cutting Edge Consciousness. Frank Michaels here with Barnett Bain. That was fun.
It's always fun to be around Kyle. Kyle is a real breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Really, not just because he's a buddy, but because he truly is contributing something very, very unique. Very unique to the kinds of conversation that we have. Just a great guy. I love it.
I love
being with him.
Yeah, I love to see the consciousness conversation moving into comedy and obviously through your work into films and more being expressed in a whole myriad of ways that it initially doesn't seem like it lends itself to. But obviously in Kyle's case, it totally lends itself. And the fact that we can laugh a little bit is a really wonderful opportunity.
To me, I think that it shows a certain kind of maturing, a certain kind of seasoning.
Yes.
Certainly in me personally and in the community that I know and that I care so much about, we have grown sufficiently so that The comedy that is generated around it is no longer at the expense of. It's really easy to take shots of something that is exotic or different. But when for comedy to be generated out of a worldview requires, first of all, a minimum basic mastery of the worldview itself, so that it's intrinsic, expressing outwardly. And it suggests to me that we have really grown as a culture into an entirely new world. And Kyle, there are a number of friends that I have, and only one comic who, from the inside out, is able to lovingly unpack bits and pieces of a journey that is personal.
Yeah.
But not at the expense of.
Well, and it's interesting because there's something my mother used to say when I was a kid. She said, I don't want you to laugh at me. I want you to laugh with me. And that's what I think this is, that so much of what comedy has been, again, comes from that sort of defensive way that we're laughing at ourselves because we don't know what to do with pieces of what's coming up. And this is a whole different spirit where we can laugh with ourselves. We can laugh with the parts of us that have come up, even the ones that are really hard to look at, you know, and do it in a way that's gracious and graceful and allows us the opportunity to be more human, versus this ideal that many of us have created of who we ought to be that we never measure up to. I mean, that's my personal story, is this idea of who I ought to be and the sort of weight and tyranny of that thought process and how I'll never make it. And the minute I start to allow for that, I've spoken a lot about this today, about my vulnerability and going, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks I ought to be different, and I'm loving even that part of me. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this whole world opens up, and that's the offer of, dare I say, conscious comedy. The idea of being able to laugh with the parts of us that go on these crazy rides.
Comedy, like tragedy, they are polarities of the same magnet.
Mm.
It only works when the listener can relate to himself or herself in it. If you can identify, if you can't identify, then it either becomes comedy at the expense of, because then you don't have to identify from the inside. You can identify from the place of better than or less than.
Mm.
But for it to really hook in and to lift, you have to be able to recognize yourself in the view, from the perspective, the point of view of the comic, which is why I really enjoy what Kyle does.
I love, you know what I love about what he does? Every time I've listened to him, it's, so when I'm in and I used to go to comedy clubs when I was younger, sometimes I would go and I would leave feeling like a little depressed. Like it kind of bummed me out. Like the person was good and they were pointing out these kind of flaws in the human experience or flaws in our culture or politics or whatever. And I was laughing because I could relate to it. But I left feeling kind of like, ugh, like, really? That's it? And what I love about Kyle's is I always get done laughing and I feel a little like an uptick. Like, oh, that's it. Oh, it's just that. Do you know what I'm saying? In other words, instead of it feeling, because again, it's almost like we've talked about victim consciousness, where it's coming at it from the perspective of a victim. There's this whole thing that's monolithic and it's bigger than us and it's uncontrollable. It's just human nature. You're screwed. You're doomed to this. And everyone laughs and goes, ha, ha, ha. And then we go, wow. But there's a part of that that feels true versus this perspective where we feel doomed by it and da, da, da. But there's this uplift at the end where you get to go, yeah, and all these other things are true at the same time.
Well, there's a component to, which again is developmental, I think, to people along a spiritual path. And I know for a very long time, I had the sense, I had the belief, the anticipation that at some point conflict was going to go away. And if conflict goes away, there is a sense of dread that the ego has. If I have nothing to push up against, then I have no way of identifying. I have no way of understanding what my boundaries
are.
Don't take away my suffering.
Especially if I feel like it's motivated me, right?
Well, that was certainly a place that I know very well.
I know it very place. Well. Yep.
And I realize it's been a long time since I've gotten caught in that. I'm able now to see that life is very, very different for me than what it was 20, 30 years ago, even 5 years ago, even 2 years ago.
5 minutes ago.
5 minutes ago. No, it's very, very much more fluid and magical.
Absolutely.
And very much more non-linear. And at the same time, there are different kinds of conflicts. I don't hold in exactly the same way, but there's still plenty of grist for the mill of differentiating myself of who I am and how I fit into the bigger picture of things. I can see myself in both the struggles of others and also in the comedy of others.
Yeah. No, this is exactly what I'm talking about. It's
we don't disappear, I guess what I'm saying. We don't disappear.
And we can laugh at it a little bit. Look, this is such a big part. Even our show, and we love our listeners. I'm not trying to bash our listeners, but there's a number of our listeners that kind of react when we joke around too much. Even too much is a connotation. We oughtn't to be doing it. It's this earnestness, which is fine. I mean, I'm not diminishing that we do take consciousness seriously.
We have
a small handful
of
very vocal.
Very vocal people that get very tweaked if we are not
very earnest,
wrestling with the deep philosophical conundra of life.
And the upside of being able to have fun and being able to laugh at ourselves and being able to say, oh, yeah, that's that part of me, is a way, very healthy in my mind, healthy way of relating to the comedy of the whole thing.
I think at one point we said, we were talking about what we most valued, and you came up with something, and then I said, what I most value, and I mean it without any facetious, I absolutely believe this, and right now, to this day, I continue to believe this. I want to have more and more sense of being able to consciously create this world of cornucopia possibility and to have more and more fun. And people, very few, but It triggers some people in the way that having fun, and if you're not right on that earnest path all the time, triggers some people.
Well, and I think, you know,
it triggers me.
It does. So the wonderful opportunity we had today with having Kyle on the show is to play a little bit and to expand the conversation.
Now we never have to do it again.
We can go back to being earnest next week. No, we'll play. It can be fun. It can be playful. It's a generous offer. And with that, our time
together.
It was a quick 10 minutes. It was a quick 50-minute show. 48 minutes today, yeah.
So everyone driving to work, we hope that you arrived safe and sound. And we'll look forward to joining you again next week. In the meantime, you can... you can get an extra fix of us if you so wish on our website, www.cuttingedgeconsciousness.com. Check out our Facebook page. Like us. We like to be liked.
And keep coming back to Cutting Edge Consciousness. Thanks for listening.